from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the Better Lawns and Gardens, the second hour. My name is Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and host of Better Lawns and Gardens. And I love that you're here listening with us. So grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea, and you can sit along with us and enjoy the show. You can call us with your gardening questions at the bottom of the half hour, around 8:30 or so. Give us a call. You can start so you can get it in before the end of the show. And you can text anytime, 23680. And to call, you want to put it in your phone book, your contacts, 1-888-455-2967. And the dirty word of the day is DEYEing. And I'll spell that for you. DEYEING. DEYEing. So what is DEYEing? DEYEing is the manual removal of the main eyes of a bulb to break apical dominance. Now, the apical dominance of a plant is where the leaves grow straight up and then it sends off side branches. When you DEYE it, it increases leaf count, decreases the leaf size, and the results are a shorter plant with more uniformity. Terminal bud removing, or DEYEing, is the most reliable way to get a dense plant. So to DEYE a bulb, you want to cut out the dominant buds or sprout eyes using a small knife. You want to stay within the diameter of the eye and remove the entire eye by cutting about 1/8 to 1/4 inches deep into the bulb. Remember, it's critical to stay within that diameter of the eye to eliminate damage to the small eye that surrounds the perimeter of the main eye. So experiments using a nail to puncture and destroy the terminal bud have shown irregular results, as the main eye is sometimes missed. You want to remember, in order to be effective, the DEYEing method must remove or destroy all the terminal buds. Please note, however, that when proper DEYEing increases the uniformity of your crop, you decrease the severity of the DEYEing treatment by excessive removal of tubal tissue. It's going to lead to a less uniform crop. You want to cluster the bulbs with 4 or 5 dominant eyes, and if you have a cluster of bulbs like that, they generally do not benefit from DEYEing. So you want to, the caladium bulb being a storage organ, is full of carbohydrates, and that's what we're going to be talking about, caladium bulbs. It's full of carbohydrates, and a wet carbohydrate source invites disease problems. So it's best to let a DEYEed bulb heal and dry 10 to 12 hours before potting. It's helpful to use a fungicide or talc dust to aid in the process. Good air circulation is very important to the drying process, and so the apical shoot is more mature than the axillary buds. After DEYEing, the shoot and the leaves from the axillary buds may have a slightly different look and color. Although DEYEing will delay the forcing time briefly, up to 2 weeks, it will result in a more fuller, more compact plant. That's therefore, if you're wanting to put your bulbs in pots, it's recommended that they be DEYEed before planting. So you can buy these big, large bags of bulbs, caladium bulbs. And if you want to make it a more dense plant, then you would use a DEYEing process. I'm going to put a link to the video in on our Facebook page when I upload the show, so that you can see the entire process. So this is a way to get a plant to be more uniform and compact. And that's what the growers do when they sell caladiums at the stores during the holiday season.
Yes, please do, because this is something that I'm actually very interested in, and in doing that and making sure that it is compacted.
Compacted,
and yes.
And it will make them shorter. And so sometimes you get the long leggy caladiums. Mm-hmm. And so by you can dig up the bulb, let it dry just for a few days, and then you can just clip off you can DEYE those the axillary buds.
Okay.
All right. And so that's DEYEing, the dirty word of the day. So we thank John Denver for bringing that to us. We are going to be talking to Terry Bates. She is the president of Bates Sons and Daughters Caladiums in Lake Placid, Florida, and she has a big festival coming up. If you're new to Florida, This is one of the best festivals in the state if you're an enthusiastic gardener or you love to collect different types of caladiums. It's wonderful. So we're going to be talking to Terry Bates about that. We're going to be taking your phone calls at the bottom of the hour. You want to write this number down, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So from the Summit Responsible Solutions studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. With us right now is Terry Bates. She is the president of Bates Sons and Daughters Caladiums in Lake Placid, Florida. Bates and Son and Daughters is a third-generation family-owned caladium grower. They've been producing and shipping caladium bulbs for over 65 years. Bates caladium bulbs are known throughout the horticultural industry for their quality, size, and vigor. They sell their caladiums on-site and online. Terry joins us this morning to tell us all about the upcoming 33rd annual Caladium Festival. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I am so happy you're here. One of the most beloved, colorful, and recognizable tropical plants we grow in Florida are caladiums. And they're so popular, they even have their own Caladium Festival. What are caladiums? And where are they from?
Okay, so caladiums are actually tubers, and they are from the Amazon Basin area in Brazil. They kind of look like small, colorful elephant ears. They're not really related to elephant ears, but that makes people understand what they are.
Yeah, and I hear people calling them that a lot, colorful elephant ears. So how many cultivars of caladiums are there?
Well, commercially, there's about 175 varieties that you can buy commercially. But there's a lot of, like, small backyard breeders because caladiums are very, very easy to breed. So really, if you counted up all the ones in the backyards in Thailand and stuff, there's probably 1,000. But commercially grown in the fields, there's about 175.
Wow. Now, I didn't let you answer the last one. So where are they from originally?
They're from the Amazon Basin in Brazil.
Wow. Can you imagine how beautiful the Amazon is with caladiums? I can't. That's wonderful. You don't think of them growing there in that rainforest. And so what kind of varieties do you like? What's your favorite?
My favorite variety is probably Dot's Delight because I named it after my mom.
Aww.
It's a University of Florida variety, and it's very pretty. It's a speckled pink and green and white caladium variety. I also like Frog in the Blender just because I sell a lot of it.
I love Frog in the Blender too. It's very funny. I think it's great. And it is a beautiful caladium, but I like that you named the Dot's Delight after your mom. That's wonderful. So now,
yeah, thank you.
Usually caladiums are called bulbs, but are they really bulbs?
They are not. They're tubers. Okay, so they're more like potatoes. Matter of fact, potatoes are probably the closest thing to a caladium.
Huh.
So instead of having all those scaly leaves on the outside like you do with a bulb or a corm, they're very thin-skinned, okay? They don't have a basal plant from which new shoots grow. They just have eyes all over the surface. So it's a totally different animal.
It is. That's good to know. So what are the growing conditions and care for caladiums? If someone says, I've never grown caladiums before, what do I need to do? What would you tell them?
Well, I'll tell you this. My best gardeners are the worst caladium growers. Because they won't leave them alone. Caladiums require, they really, seriously, same thing with my growers, my greenhouse growers. They're a really good grower. They're going to ruin a crop of caladiums. The worst growers are the best caladium growers because basically you need to plant them. Don't plant them deep, which is a mistake from people coming up north. Just cover them with a little bit of soil, water them, and walk away. So, I mean, in an ideal situation, they prefer lower pHs. In an ideal situation, they like a little bit of partial shade. But they will. There's so many varieties now that grow in the full sun.
And so when... Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Terry.
No, go ahead.
Well, so when do you need to worry if the caladium is going dormant or it's actually dying?
Okay, so in Florida, which is, you know, different from other states. But in Florida, generally, if you wanted to have caladiums 8 months out of the year, you would do a planting in April. They would start dying back and looking kind of, you know, bad in August. You do a planting in August, and you would have them all the way till we got cool weather in November. So if you wanted to have caladiums 8 months, you could do a planting in April and a planting in August. Really, in the yards, they look good about 4 months before they start going dormant. And they're going to go dormant whether it's cold or hot.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so if you plant them in April, they will not look that good by September. So in the town, we do an April planting and an August planting, so we have caladiums for a longer period of time.
Okay, and so would you... Okay, so then you would have to keep planting more and more caladiums, but so would you do that twice a year? How would you keep them growing, or would you just keep adding to your garden
just
bed?
Just keep adding to. So caladiums tend to shrink. You know, they're not a bulb.
Right.
So they tend to shrink, unless it's a perfect situation. Now, I'm going to say this. There's about 2% of the people that have the ideal situation that caladiums actually get bigger every year.
Okay.
And they end up with these enormous bulbs underneath the ground. Don't ever move them, because they may not perform that way in another area of your yard. But as a rule, they tend to shrink by about half every year. So caladiums in Florida look good in the yard 2 to 3 years. So the larger the bulb you can start off with, the longer you're going to have good growth.
Gotcha. Okay. And so what about pest issues? Do they have any?
They really, insects don't like them. Deer will only eat them if there's nothing else to eat. And really, you know, I know that caladiums, we deal with funguses in the field. But you, if you buy a healthy caladium bulb, you should not have any fungal issues in the yard.
Wow, that is great. I'm just going to go, I'm going to get frogs in a blender. I'm just going to go get that. So,
so frogs were harmed in the naming of this variety, okay?
That's right. So caladiums are wonderful, carefree plant for the landscape. You have a large festival coming up that people are going to have the opportunity to buy all these various cultivars. What is the Caladium Festival?
So the Caladium Festival was started by my mom and Carolyn Pfeiffer from Happiness Farms 33 years ago. And it was just a way to bring more awareness. We really started it to kind of help the local downtown businesses, the town of Lake Placid, to get a little bit more on the map. Back then, we had about 21 growers. We're down to 6 growers now.
Wow.
From various things. So there's going to be 3 other growers at the festival, Classic Caladiums, Florida Boys, and Bates Sons and Daughters. We all have unique varieties that you can't buy anywhere else in the world. So, like, we'll have 25 varieties, 13 of them you can't buy from anybody else. Classic will have a bunch of varieties you can't buy from anybody else, and so will Florida Boys. So it's an opportunity to people come get varieties they can't get at Lowe's or Home Depot or anywhere. We have entertainment the whole time. We have caladium bus tours where you go out to the fields. You can't get off, but you can go out to the field to look at them, and then you can drive back there later if you want to pull off and walk through there. The growers don't mind. And there will be a caladium grower on the bus, so people can ask all the questions they want. We have train tours. We have a car show, bike show on Saturday. We have local community, like Rotary and stuff, does all the food. You know, but we have several, you know. There's a lot to do.
That's wonderful. Can children come? Would they like the festival?
Oh, sure. The kids can come. There's usually, the clowns are there. We have a clown museum in Lake Placid. The clowns will have a booth set up, and they do free face painting and stuff. And the entertainment is quite good. And there's, like I said, there's plenty to do and walk around. There's a train. You can take an hour train ride, a Sugarland Express. It doesn't go through the fields, but it does go through our area, which is quite rural for people who have never seen this part of Florida. So there is a train ride that you can take. The kids love that.
Wonderful.
You know, and there's snow cones and, you know, things like that. And it's free. The Caladium Festival is free.
Oh, there's no cost to attend.
There's no cost to attend. There's no cost for parking.
Oh, excellent. That is great. So you have this Caladium Festival. How would people find out more information, like directions to get there and what you can do when you get to the festival?
Okay. So you can go to caladiumfestival.org. That's under the Lake Placid Chamber of Commerce site. But if you go to caladiumfestival.org, it takes you straight to the festival. It'll give you directions. If I was coming from the north, I would go to the first stoplight and take a right. and find parking down there.
Okay.
Because the next stoplight, a lot of that road's going to be blocked, and you got to go way down, and the parking's not as plentiful.
Okay, wonderful. Now, Lake Placid's only about 2 hours and about 10 minutes away from Orlando, so it's a really nice drive and a lot of fun, and it's free. I think that's amazing. Now, what if somebody can't get down there? Can they go to your Bates Sons and Daughters website and order bulbs?
No, we don't actually do online. What we have, Florida Boys and Classic Caladiums, and I know Florida Boys is still has their website open, will still be shipping, and Classic Caladiums might. What we do have at our office, if they just want to come down, is we have a shed that's open 24/7, mm-hmm. and people go in there and pick out their own bulbs and leave their money in the lot box.
By the 24/7?
So if they're in our area, they can just come buy caladiums.
That's great. That's great. And can they?
Yeah.
That's really wonderful. How much do caladiums cost?
Okay, at the festival, we're really give them a bargain. They're going to be $10 a bag. All the growers are selling caladiums at $10 a bag. Florida Boys and Bates are going to have 12 bulbs in a bag. I don't know how many bulbs Classic will have in or what size. But we generally have 12 number ones in a bag.
Wonderful.
Which is your bigger size.
Okay, so give us the websites again for the Chamber of Commerce and for Bates Sons and Daughters.
Okay, so for the Caladium Festival, go to caladiumfestival.org. And if you want to learn more about our company, go to caladiumsonline.com.
That's great. Now, Terry, you're the third generation. How many women do you have? How many daughters do you have in the company?
Well, it's called Bates Sons and Daughters. Because we have two, me and my sister Cherie do it. It used to be Bates and Sons.
Yes.
And my uncle got killed, and my dad had four daughters.
Oh.
So he changed the name to Bates Sons and Daughters.
That was great.
So Cherie and I own the company. Yeah, we're the only Caladium farm owned solely by women.
That is wonderful. And so you are, Florida's the sole source of Caladiums in the world, right?
That is correct.
Wow.
That is correct. So all the Caladium growers in the world are in our county.
That's incredible. Lake Placid is beautiful. It's a beautiful country. I love seeing all the growers down there and driving by the farms. And so I am so pleased. So give us the date of the Caladium Festival and times.
Okay, so the dates are going to be starting next Friday. So I believe that's the 26th, 27th, and the 28th. So it goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It'll go 9 to 4 on Friday and Saturday. And it'll be 10 to 3 on Sunday.
Wonderful. Terry, thank you so much for coming on. We certainly do appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, I am so excited, and I might actually try to go on Friday now.
There you go.
I just checked my calendar, and it seems to be free after I get done with the morning show, and then I am just...
Run down there.
Oh, I'm so stoked, because just, you know, what is it, the frog in a blender? I'm
like, yeah, frogs in a blender. Is. Look up the picture, frogs in a blender,
yes.
At Caladium, and you will see it. It is a gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous Caladium, and it's wonderful. Don't tell your kids what it's called. So.
Oh, no, I will. I torture my kids and grandbrats.
That's great. We're going to take a break right now. It's a perfect time to call or text your gardening question. Just dial 1-888-45-LAWNS, or you can text 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Let's go to our text message and just get those taken care of. From Lisa in New Smyrna Beach, I live about 3-minute walk from the beach. I'm looking for a hurricane-friendly plant for very large pots. Will the orange bird of paradise work? Will the leaves shred with strong winds? The pots are much too heavy to move in for storms. Yes, bird of paradise will survive hurricanes, but there's no hurricane-proof or storm-proof plant. The winds are so strong that, of course, they're going to get shredded a little bit, but it will recover. So even if you can't move it in, you could possibly, depending on the size, put another pot over it okay? And if they're large pots, you can get a larger pot and, you know, kind of stake it into the soil of the pot and just cover it that way. But, you know, the if the winds do shred it, just cut them back and it will recover. So no worries about that, okay? Maybe you can put it on wheels now if you can, and you can slide it to the corner of your walls or near your foundation. Lori in St. Cloud says, I want to know if it's okay to put milorganite down on my lawn this time of the year. I did weed and feed at the beginning of summer and other fertilizing. Should I do it before fall? Thank you. There's no reason to put down milorganite. I'm just kind of wondering why you want to do it. I would do a soil test of your lawn and see what it needs. You know, find out if it needs it first. Don't waste your money or time. And then you don't necessarily want to do it in the summertime. If you do want to add fertilizer, I would do it after the end of September, October. You could do it then. But get a soil test first. There's no reason to put it down until you know what you need in your landscape. And then Joy from Winter Springs, I have poinsettias. Yesterday I watered them and very little white bugs flew off of it. What are they and what should I use to get rid of them? Also, should I plant them in a big pot or in the ground? Thank you. Well, first, poinsettias can grow in pots or in the ground. Whatever you choose, they will do well. The little white flying insects are white flies, and it's because of, you know, poinsettias do get white flies. You want to make sure they're not having stress. They have good air circulation. And by air circulation, I mean they're not up right close to a house or in a corner, inside a pool, a screened area, so that they get good air circulation. That's when we see white flies really hitting insects. Now, if it's outside, you want to keep it about 2 feet away from your house or your foundation so it gets good air circulation. What you can do about it is you can use an insecticide for white flies like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, or you can use some of the, Orthene's or Bayer Advanced Program pesticides. Read the label, follow the instructions, and you don't want to do it in the heat of the day. Okay, so the poinsettias are susceptible to white flies. You can also use the safer insecticide products if you want to do the organic, and then also to Bonide products are really good for getting rid of white flies. So good question. Thank you so much for texting. Let's go to Henry in Citrus County. The best varieties of broccoli and also parsley. Good morning, Henry. It's Jerry. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Thank you. I have a question on the parsley.
Yes.
I planted some last year, a packet that's called Single. And that's all I got was one plant of, but it's big and beautiful. And I was wondering what variety is best.
Okay. What variety of parsley? Parsley all works. How many seeds did you plant?
Oh, there was like a half a dozen in there or so.
Okay.
And only one came up and it grew beautifully. It filled the whole big pot to a 2 gallon pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really pleased. No bugs, no nothing, no pests.
Excellent.
On there, and so now I wanted to look in a little further, and I thought your experience might be able to come across.
You know, I do different varieties of parsley. I like the Italian parsley, and I like also the curly leaf parsley. But curly leaf parsley.
Okay.
But they should all do well. So I'm kind of wondering about your seeds. How old was the packet? Did you have them for a long time, or were they an old packet of seeds?
No, the pack I picked up and planted last fall.
Okay.
And it didn't do a whole lot during the winter. It grew slowly because I guess the sun is low. But then when spring came, start taking off.
Yeah.
Putting something high.
You can plant a parsley in the springtime and summer and fall. So it's pretty. You can plant it all year round. Yes. So how much did you water them? Did you have them in the ground, or did you?
No, it was in a large pot, and I watered them. I checked them every day, And if it was dry, then I'd water. That's the only way.
I would probably try to water a little bit less often. So just, check it every day. But if the mm-hmm. soil is cool, moist, or damp, do not water it. Because seeds can rot really easy.
I didn't water if it was that.
Okay.
Only if it was dry on the things. And it worked good. I appreciate that.
Okay,
and
Jerry.
These other varieties you mentioned. And the broccoli, I grow DeSicco. Sort of an Italian broccoli.
Right.
And is there a better one to grow in Florida?
There's several varieties. I will tell you what. I'm going to give it to Lizzie. And Lizzie, if you'll just take his name and number, I'll get back with him and give him some options.
Yeah, Jerry, hold on.
Okay, because we're running tight. Thank you so much, Jerry. Let's go to Eileen and Stuart. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. I have two quick questions, hopefully.
Okay.
One is, what is the best fertilizer for my calusias?
Mm-hmm.
And the second question I have is, what am I doing wrong that my bird of paradise, 5 years old, planted out front, is not blooming for the second year?
Okay. Did it bloom before?
Yes. The last time it bloomed, I had one bloom last year in July. The year before that, it bloomed beautifully.
Okay.
And this year, we're going toward the end of July, and I'm not seeing anything. I don't know if I need to trim it more, if I need a better fertilizer.
Well, this year we really had a rough spring, so I think that's more than anything. It's not something you did, but we had extremely hot spring with no rainfall. We were in a severe drought. So I think that may be the problem. If it's in full sun and it's been blooming for you before, sometimes plants take a year off. They really do kind of rest.
Okay.
So again, I would just probably fertilize on a regular basis, you know, and that would be every 3 to 4 months with a blooming fertilizer, not necessarily a high nitrogen one. Is it growing lots of leaves?
Yes, it looks healthy, but it's just no flowers. So.
Okay, I would do a blooming fertilizer so that the higher middle number, so like a 6, 10, 6, okay? And just get a blooming fertilizer for it and then just wait and see. It might have just taken the year off. The stress from the spring could be the issue. So let me know how it does. Okay, Eileen?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're going to be back with more of your questions, gardening questions. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. So Jerry asked about the different varieties of broccoli, and I don't have them implanted in my brain. Tom McCubbin is one with all that great information. Jerry, if you'd like, the recommended varieties for broccoli are the old favorite, Waltham 29, and Early Green, Early Dividend, Green Sprouting, Calabrese, Pac-Man, and DeSicco. DeSicco or DeChicco is D-E, new word, C-I-C-C-O. So, Jerry, I'll send that to you by email. So thank you for calling Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I am so glad you're back.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You would love Ireland. I have cousins named Eileen, and you would love them.
My dad has roots there.
Does he? What part?
Dublin.
Wonderful. Have you ever been?
And that is, no, it's on my bucket list.
Yes, it has to be. That would be great. How are you doing?
I am fine. I'll know the second week of August.
Okay.
But my son is here, and he said that he's got 6 French bulldogs. You can have them all for free.
Well, do you know, my daughter better not be listening to the show, because she has a baby. I have a baby grand dog, French bulldogs, and it's dwarf Luna, and she would take all six of them for you. I love that. They are running all around, I bet.
Yes, they are, and they're trying to sell them.
They're registered and everything.
And they're registered and everything.
Well, we can't do that, but thank you so much for calling, Eileen. I certainly am glad to hear
I'm
back.
No, I'm not done with you yet.
Oh, you're not done. You got a gardening question for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Tom said that the grasshoppers are around until October.
Yes, they are.
Well, I'm getting a little sick and tired of them because they're eating my hedges.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to do something with them.
Yeah, you have to kill them because the insecticides don't kill them because they're so large.
Okay.
Now, my cousins in Ireland thought they were beautiful, but you tell them, Eileen, they're not beautiful.
No, they're not. No, they are not. I have killed 10.
Oh, my goodness.
With my cane.
There you go. Well, you keep up the good work. You get points if you get them in the road with the car. All right, hon?
All right.
Take care, Eileen. Bye-bye. Let's go to Carol Ann in Longwood. Good morning, Carol Ann. How can I help you?
Yes, I've got a question about Laura Pendulum.
Yes.
They were constantly being chopped by the hedge assassins.
Yes.
And we replanted them, and I gave them root stimulator.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything I could do to make them bloom, to get those pretty pink flowers?
Yes. It's in the springtime. You just have to wait for spring again. Okay, so now so they don't bloom necessarily all year round, but they're probably going to take a little break because you've transplanted them, okay? And so they're going to need to recover. So I would just do a good, fertilizing with a blooming fertilizer product, and then wait for them in the springtime. You'll get them back. They'll recover.
Great. Okay, so in the meantime, just the root stimulator, a couple of weeks.
So I don't think so, not necessarily. Have you already done it one time?
Yeah, I did it once.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Go ahead, and I would just wait until August, September, and fertilize them again, and then again in the springtime, and they'll recover.
Okay. Now, August, September, do you use the high bloom? Or?
Yeah. So here it is about, here's the deal with fertilizer, is that, if you put down just a regular 666, then the plant is going to do kind of like everything. It's going to be, kind of balanced. It's going to grow little leaves. It's going to grow roots. It's going to grow flowers. But if you just put down a high phosphorus fertilizer, a blooming fertilizer, then it will encourage the plant to grow flowers. It will concentrate on flowers. So you're telling it what to do by what kind of fertilizer you're putting down.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you, Carol. And so, great show. I am so glad to be back, Lizzie. I really do appreciate everyone who's called in. If they missed any of today's show, you can hear Better Lawns and Gardens on betterlawns.com, on Audio Boom, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can just Google Teresa Watkins, Better Lawns and Gardens. Lizzie said what? They can Google that and they'll find us. And I'll post it on Facebook and they can download and listen to it there. And so...
And we haven't been able to get to all of our callers, unfortunately. So go ahead and text us because we do get the text whenever I come in on Monday morning for the morning show here in Orlando. I just take a picture and I send it to Teresa, and then she covers the question the next Saturday.
There you go. And I've got gardening questions to catch up on. We just got back. We missed that horrible airplane outage or the computer outages and stuff. We just missed it by a hair. So we're really glad that we did that. I want to thank again Tom McCubbin for having a great show last week, Lizzie. Thank you, Lizzie. And also thank you to Terry Bates for the information about the Caladium Festival in Lake Placid. You're going to go, right?
Yes, I'm thinking really, she made it sound so amazing. I'm pretty excited. And it's free to go down there and see all the cool stuff down there.
You will love it. Frogs in a blender. You got to Google the picture of it.
My luck, I'm going to get down there and they're all going to be sold out.
No. You'll get there. It's an easy drive from Orlando, just two hours, 10 minutes or so. And I will post links for all of the interviews that we said today, all the links, and some pictures of our Ireland tour for you.
Yes.
And if you go to Better Lawns and Gardens, give us 5 stars. We would appreciate that.
Yes, we'll take those.
Yeah, we'll take those. and then we are going to, I'm TJ Marr in Ireland. He is a painter and also a beautiful, beautiful landscape designer. He's a landscape teacher in Ireland. And I thoroughly enjoyed meeting him and walking through his gardens. They were just heavenly. So he will be on soon. We're going to have more calls going, more interviews on what to do in your landscape, my landscape design ideas, and then also to newsletter. I always like to bring up the newsletter, and you can go on to www.she-consulting.com to get it. No spam. It's free. And you can learn a lot from it, what to do in your month each garden.
Or you can learn from me what not to do.
You're so good. You're so good. You get all the updates on the turkeys and what they're going through, what they're doing with them. Also, too, if you're interested in traveling with me on our garden tours, we go to some great places. I call it my bucket list, but I pronounce the bouquet list. So my garden bouquet list.
Yes.
And you can travel with me. Just check out artandbloomsgardentours.com. And that will be, we would love to have you along.
Now, do you have one that's going to be coming up this next year, they can plan ahead for?
Yeah, they got to go to 2025 because all the Art and Bloom tours are booked this year.
Okay.
So you got to go next year. And we're planning on the Chelsea Flower Show.
What?
And yes, Chelsea Flower Show and some beautiful, beautiful garden locations. So you're going to want to do that. And I want to thank all of our callers and listeners today. And, thank you so much for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And the Glentys Garden Club, the early bloomers. Thank you so much for having me and showing me your gardens. And I look forward to seeing you in the future. We appreciate all our sponsors, Quality Green Specialists, Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Black Cow Manure, just wonderful. And if you'd like to be a sponsor.
Peterson's Nursery.
Yes.
They had a event last week, too. So,
did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope it went well. I've got to talk to Howie and Karen and find out how they're doing. So
we have the best listeners. Can we thank you, listeners? Thank you, because you spread the word, and you guys have the best questions. So don't ever think that you have a dumb question, because if you've listened to at least 5 minutes of this show ever, then, well, you know what? Lizzie pops up, and there we go. It just crumbles the show. But, yes, you never have a dumb question, so just ask it anyway.
Never, never. We enjoy listening to them, and it's fun. And, you know, the beautiful thing about Florida is you can garden year-round, so we love that. Thank you so much. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of organic mosquito bits and dunks and organic year-round oil spray, I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.